get your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Welcome inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak. We are barreling into week 7 of the season, and it definitely feels like the short week, and we're not even on the field getting ready for it. We're just trying to get our minds right for a game just happened on Sunday. Boom, bang, boom. We're back at it on Thursday night, and what do you know? Good old friend coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints are having walkthroughs for practices on Monday and Tuesday. This is the equivalent of a walkthrough podcast. Like, I'm not prepared. Like, how could I possibly be prepared to talk about a football game in 2 days? Like, it's stupid. It's dumb. These games should not exist. But we're well past that point. Anyway, this is a podcast. We're getting ready for Saints Broncos. We're going to have a Broncos insider, Benjamin Albright from KOA Colorado. Great stuff from him on what the Saints should expect, what the deal is with the Broncos to this point in the season, how Sean Payton is getting ready for this. And that's what we're going to talk about mostly in this segment, is kind of the Sean Payton of it all. We put out an episode yesterday kind of breaking down the injury report and talking a little bit about some of the keys in this matchup. Sorry, the light is going crazy because it's super windy today in New Orleans. The Broncos are bringing with them like sub 60 degree temperatures, which I don't even remember what it feels like. It's crazy. But yeah, that's going to be this first segment. We're going to hear from Mickey Loomis. We're going to hear from a few, you know, some players on Sean Payton, and we're going to hear from Sean Payton himself kind of talking about this matchup. And, you know, you can't not talk about it. You can't avoid it. Drew Brees is going into the Hall of Fame, or the team Hall of Fame. I think they generally wanted to do it a different week when they were kind of coming up with this plan, and they really didn't announce it until the last second. Like, I think it was a discussion, and I'm pretty sure Drew wanted it this week.
Yeah, I listened to one of the availability Sean Payton had, and he mentioned that this is the game that Drew wanted it.
Yeah, and so I think that was kind of the balance of, like, the Saints would have probably rather done this a different week.
I think so too, right?
But either way, hopefully that's some energy that can take some of the attention off of the Sean Payton of it all. But you were around for a majority of the Sean Payton era. Like, this is a weird situation to see him coming back with any team. It was going to happen eventually once he went to the Broncos. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's going to – I'm curious about the vibe in that building. I'm curious how the fans are going to handle it. Are they going to boo? Are the Saints going to do any sort of tribute? Are they – tribute's a weird word, but, like, thank you kind of moment,
right,
for Sean's service. You know, are the fans going to be, please come back, we miss you? Are the fans going to be, go to hell, you abandoned us? I genuinely don't know. How do you think that's going to go?
It's a good point, because I think there's obviously all those emotions involved, and it's definitely seeing, you know, the ex with the new, you know, the new piece on their side. Sean Payton ditching the Saints, took a year off, ends up back in coaching with the Denver Broncos. A lot of folks do feel like he quote unquote quit on the team. I don't think there was ever any doubt, though, for me at least, when he was leaving the Saints, that he wasn't going to be back in coaching eventually. I didn't think maybe that soon, but I guess he had just that too much of that Jones in from being in broadcasting. I was like, I can't help it. I need to be on the sideline. Genuinely, though, I feel like the climate of the team right now and how things have been going, I think Sean gets booed. Fans are not happy right now overall.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, I agree with that, because we drew up scenarios in the preseason of, like, hey, if this game goes a certain way, if this season goes a certain way, if you're 4-2 with Sean coming in, then I think there's going to be some righteous indignation of, like, yeah, we don't need you.
Right.
If you're 2-4, I don't know. Can you have that energy? Can you? Because booing Sean would kind of indicate, like, we're happy with the way things are. I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like, how do you justifiably boo the guy after how this season has transpired? And I think the worst case scenario is, I don't know about worst case scenario. Worst case scenario would be 0-6, but you know, one of like, you did not want to come to this game on a 4-game losing streak. Like, even if you're 2-4, if you won your opener, lost 2 games, won, lost 2 games, we'd be miserable. But like the 4-game losing streak element, and the fact that Sean can make that 5 games and match your biggest losing streak since he was here, which is kind of hilarious to me. Like, the last time you lost 5 games in a row was Sean Payton's final season, and you hadn't done it prior to that for a while. So, you know, it's funny because you look back on these like Sean Payton years, like they were all hunky dory, sunshine and rainbows.
Right.
That last season was very similar to what we've experienced the last 3 years with Dennis Allen. And, you know, you had some nice games. You lost a bunch of games in a row at one point. You dealt with quarterback injuries. Your offensive line was in shambles a majority of the time. That season, you know, it's funny. We're talking about this season. We're talking about playing with 3 interior linemen down. And we don't know if Lucas Patrick is going to play yet. That season, that final Sean Payton season, you lost both Ryan Ramczyk and Tron Armstead. So this season, you have both your tackles and no interior linemen. That season, you had your interior linemen like Cesar Ruiz, Eric McCoy, but you had no outside line. You had no tackles. So I don't know. I figure that one out.
I think maybe initially Sean gets the applause and the cheer, but definitely after that, it's going to be all boo on you.
Yeah, and so here's Sean talking about that, the scenario, how he kind of looks at it, you know, some of his memories with the Saints and whatnot.
I'm usually, I don't know, I'd say kind of wound up pregame and ready to go. And so, look, I think the, obviously for a player it's different, but for me, I think this, first off, the evening's about the game. And then secondly, you know, Breeze is getting honored at halftime, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of flowers and warm fuzzies for yours truly, and I get it. So, but it's a good question, and that's, I think that, listen, I can't stand losing, and so it's about our team and me as the head coach of the Broncos getting ready to play on an early week and try to play one of our better games.
But yeah, so we'll see. You know, I'm curious. It is interesting to understand, like, hey, how is he viewing this? How is he perceiving this? I don't think either side is necessarily angry. Like, I don't think that the Saints coaching staff will feel angry at Sean. And I don't think Sean will or should feel angry about the Saints. But I do think if there is any resentment, it's going to come from the Saints side. Because when you get kind of left high and dry the way they did. So, I mean, it's like you didn't exactly leave the Saints in a good situation, right?
Sure.
The cupboards were kind of bare when you left. Like that, like that 2021 wide receiver room, like the Saints had to rebuild it. The offensive line, the Saints had to rebuild it. You know, the Alvin Kamara was still kind of in his prime. So you had that. Mike Thomas was never the same after that last season with Sean, right?
Right. It definitely felt like Drew's gone. Peace. I'm out of here, folks.
I mean, I think he kind of got a picture of like, wow, life after Drew is not going to be simple. And if I'm going to rebuild, I want to do it somewhere else. And
right,
so
right.
That's how I perceive it, is he was not mentally in for a rebuild. And I get it. But the reason you had to rebuild was partly because of, you know, the situation you contrived. So, well,
yeah, what's funny is he goes to Denver and then obviously the moves they made, but boom, puts them in a terrible cap situation, getting rid of Russell Wilson right away.
Yeah, right. And it's like, okay.
We know about that dead cap.
It's just funny because it's like, he needed a year off. I get it. But the situation he walked into was not better than the situation he would have had if he just stuck it out with the Saints. And I do think part of it is like, hey, I want to go do something special. I want to go win somewhere else, because that's something that coaches have not done. And like, cause he was never going to get fired from the Saints. Like, no. you know, the best case scenario, like look at Mike Tomlin now. It's like, hey, one of the reasons that you can comfortably do what you need to do and rebuild the way you want to rebuild is because they're not going to fire you for a couple bad seasons. Like, you know, the understanding is there and the peak is there. So it's like, if you get to commit in this, like, I think it's kind of, I don't know. Like, I understand why the Saints would be annoyed, but this is what Mickey said when he was asked kind of a similar question this week on WWL.
We're at, and we've got an opponent coming in on Thursday night on a short week. It's not a revenge game. You know, sometimes you play against the team you were with and you have bitter or angry feelings about that team. You want to beat them because of that. That's not this game with Sean. Sean loved his time here with the Saints. He has love for the city and the organization, but you're right. It's like playing against your brother. You know, you want to beat him, and we feel the same way. And so it'll be a dogfight. He'll pull out all the stops, and you know, we have to be prepared for that.
Yeah. So, and I kind of agree with that from the Sean perspective. So if there's a revenge game narrative, it's probably going to come from one of, I don't know, a dozen former Saints that is currently on this Broncos roster. So kind of let's go through it. I haven't even listed this out in advance. I'm just going to go through the Broncos roster and read off the former Saints here. So you have, just to start, fullback Michael Burton. Jonah Ellis is not a former Saint, but he is the brother of Caden Ellis. So do with that information what you will. Wide receiver, little Jordan Humphrey. We remember him. Defensive lineman, Jordan Jackson. You remember him. He was a rookie draft pick from the Saints, got cut prior to the season. The Broncos scooped him up. You got another tight end in Lucas Krull. You've got yet another tight end in Adam Trautman. You've got a kicker in Will Lutz. You've got another defensive tackle in Malcolm Roach.
I was wrong then. I thought that they didn't have any defensive players from the Saints.
Yeah, they've got a couple. Okay. And then over on the practice squad, you've got guard Calvin Throckmorton. Remember him? And then obviously wide receiver A.T. Perry. So and also linebacker Quan Alexander. So I mean, you've got several players who might say like, this is my game. Like Lucas Krull caught 3 passes all season. Maybe this is a game he catches like 7 or 8 and a touchdown just to kind of be like, you didn't give me a chance. So here you go. Eat this. So I don't know. Like the revenge game narrative, I kind of agree with Mickey. I don't think that there should be any reason for Sean, other than just kind of being a dick, to come in here and feel like, I got to show him. Right? Now, some of these players, Adam Trautman, why wouldn't you be ticked off about how things went for you? Why wouldn't you be? Although I would say that mostly that was due to Sean, but obviously the last year he was here was DA, and that obviously didn't work out. So, yeah, I think there's a good reason for some of these guys to be a little ticked off.
Yeah, it's going to be curious, obviously, to see who ends up showing out for either squad at this point, because the offenses have not been the standout. Well, at least the Saints offense was a standout early on, but has not been recently. We kind of joke about it, but this could very well come down to a groupie versus Lutz kickoff, you know, coming down to one last kick to win this game.
You know who is definitely ticked off? Will Lutz.
exactly.
Like, I don't know how much of an impact an angry kicker can have on a game, but I'd be ticked off if I was Will Lutz. I mean, he feels like probably he won that kicker battle and they gave it to Blake anyway because he made less money. And I think that's what happened. Like, he was a Sean guy. He made more money. They were pretty close in the preseason, and they went with Blake. Because
no, he seemed a bit ticked off, obviously, when this all happened. I mean, obviously.
Definitely ticked off. Why wouldn't he be? I would be. Like, they were trying to replace him, and they found somebody who was good enough to replace him. Was he better? Is Blake Griffey better than Will Lutz? I don't know, but he's not Will Lutz.
But he's cheaper, right? Like you said.
He's not a Sean guy. And there was a point very clearly that you got to where the Saints were no longer about Sean's guys. They were about anybody else. And that's why it's funny A.T. Perry is over there, because A.T. Perry was not a Sean guy. he was a Saints draft pick, or he was a DA era draft pick, and they went with him anyway. But I think they probably have some crossover in the scouting, and they were like, yeah, okay, if the Saints scouting department feels like they like him, then we feel like we like him, because we kind of do the same thing from a scouting perspective. You know, there's not a lot of coaches left that worked with Sean. One who is still here is Darren Rizzi. Like, DA downplayed this to a very extensive degree, and I understand that, because your Saints are not in a position where they can be like, oh yeah, we got to go, you know, put it on Sean. It's like, we got to go win a game. We are not. And DA, I think Cam Jordan phrase it as like, yeah, when there's blood in the water, he's the best coach in the NFL at going after it and finding it. And yeah. But otherwise, like he DeMario Davis, like no one really played this up as much as they might have in other circumstances where the Saints are kind of feeling themselves. It's been a very subdued atmosphere. And when you lose a game the way you did against the Bucs squad that actually lost to this Broncos team that you're facing, you know, it's not good. But Darren Rizzi, I thought, had some funny info to tell. And one thing that Darren said is like, hey, you're welcome. There's not going to be any ambush kicks in this game because I made sure that that didn't exist anymore. But this is Darren kind of talking about game day, Sean.
And everybody has a game day Sean story. Everybody. More than one. My first year here, we were playing Dallas. You might remember we won the game 12-10. And so end of the game, we're up by two. It's late in the game. I think it was a 4th-and-3. I want to say there was under 5 minutes to go. And so I kept the defense on the field because I was afraid that Dallas was going to maybe potentially fake a punt there. And he got really, really mad at me. I mean, we got into a screaming match. He probably said some things he didn't want to say. I definitely say some things that I regretted saying. And so the next day, we won the game. The next day, here we are back in the office. And I'm like, I just got here. It was like I think that was the second or third game of the year of my first year here. And so I'm like, man. So I texted him. I said, Coach, when you get a minute today, you know, can we talk? So 45 seconds later, he's in my doorway, and he said, Riz, what's up? And I said, I got up, hey, Coach, you know, about yesterday. He goes, what are you talking about? And I said, the situation there at the end of the game. He's like, no, you were right. You were right. He's like, that's why you texted me? So I think the best part about Sean is he has game day amnesia. I think for the 3 hours of the game, you talk about a guy that's Jekyll Hyde. I have the utmost respect for him as a coach, but he is a Jekyll Hyde, you know, person. And so from whatever time that 3 hour window is, and it's funny because when I was coming here, Dan Campbell told me the same thing. Because I had worked with Dan, obviously, in Miami. And so when I was coming here, Dan said, you know, listen, you're going to love working for Sean, all the pros and then. But by the way, the 3 hours on game day. And so we had, I think everyone has those game day stories about him. But to his credit, he's got amnesia. When it's over, it's over. Next day, move on. And that's a credit to him because there's no grudges and all that. We were just actually laughing about a couple of those stories today. There was one particular coach who said, I think I probably got fired about 20 times during the games throughout my course of working for Sean. I think there at least at 20. I won't name the name, but so we were laughing about him. And so anyway, I think everyone's got one of those stories for sure.
That's great. Well, the funny thing to me about that is like, I'm not going to name the coach, but I mean, it's got to be Dennis Allen.
Who else is there, right?
Exactly. There's only like four coaches left. I mean, it's either it's not him. It's not Riz. Maybe Phil Galliano. He's been here for a while. Maybe Brian Young, the pass rush specialist. But I don't think that you're going after Brian Young on the sidelines, right? It's almost certainly the defensive coordinator. Right, like the defense lets up a drive, and Sean Payton's like, "I'm gonna fire," you know, like that has to be who it was. But it's just funny. He's like, I won't say his name. It's like one of four people, and I don't think that there's anyone getting yelled at quite as frequently as the offensive head coach is yelling at the defensive coordinator throughout the course of a game. Either way, that game he's talking about, that was the game that Teddy Bridgewater started in the Superdome, where you beat Dallas 12-10, if you recall that game. So I'm sure that was a high-stress Sean Payton game, and it was a high-stress season. That was the 2019 season with Drew Brees out all those games, and you won all five of them, which is a similar scenario that you're seeing with the Saints right now, is your starting quarterback's out. You got to go win a couple games. You cannot afford to lose all the games that your starting quarterback is out. And, you know, that's what happened in 2021. You basically, you know, Jameis went out. You won that game in relief, but then you lost the next five. And eventually you kind of got back on the winning track with Taysom there at the end. But yeah, game day, Sean. You know, the other thing Rizzi said is if you watch him on the sideline, there's basically like a 3-foot halo around him at all times, because everyone knows if you go within that, you go within that range, you are in danger of the wrath of Sean. And you need that buffer. You need, so someone else gets yelled at instead of you. But no, it's going to be fascinating to watch him. It's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out, the energy around it, the conversations around it. And, you know, we don't have much time to talk about it because it's tomorrow.
And I think, you know, hearing Rizzi talk about it, and this is not just Sean, in general with people, the game's a high stress, intense situation. And yeah, emotions spill over a lot. But for the majority of times when the game's over, it's like, that was then, you know, it's done with and over with. We let it out on the field. Nobody carries that into the week.
Yeah, when Rizzi says he was like, I said some things I probably regret, I believe him because I've seen him go after guys on the sideline,
right,
to the point that like players have to like separate them. Like that happened against during the Chiefs game. And it's like, yeah, so he'll get heated. Like these guys will get heated on the sideline. But a lot of it is that, right? Like you have to be able to get into it and come back from it. It can't be, right, you know, like there can be these situations where you get into it and then it kind of simmers and kind of roils under the surface. And then when things start going badly, it bursts out at you again. Right. I think that's probably what happened with Mike Thomas last year to some extent with Derek. And you know, there is some quality that you have to have of like, okay, you know, we got into it, but the amnesia part of it is important. Like, it's just like, you kind of, it's important that, then, right? It's not important now. You're moving forward now. Admit you were wrong if you were wrong, and you know, anyway, so we'll see how that goes. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're not going to talk a ton more about Sean. We are going to bring it up with Benjamin Albright, who's been covering him for the last 2 years, kind of get his read on that whole situation, how some of these former Saints players are doing out there, what the Broncos have on their offense, what the Broncos have on their defense, what they're going to do without Pat Surtain this week. Surtain, I never know how to say his name correctly, but he's not going to be out there, so the Saints are going to catch a break on that front. Basically, probably the only player is not going to be out there, but we're going to talk about it all. Then we're going to get into X Factors to close out the show. It's Inside Black and Gold. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. Otherwise, stick around.